my bad.
Okay. On the other side, doing BSHTTP and NS towards the GSN, the core network, and all that. There was, in summary, there was some work here done over these last years. Like a new library, NS2 was added, but I will be mostly talking on lots of work I've been doing on this side of things. So the RLC Mac and connection towards the mobile phones. Also, as a reminder, I will again increase this a bit. We have usually like two ways of locating the PCU in the network, more like in the collocated with the BSC here below, which used to be, I think, more in the traditional networks, where I think basically you had here like U1 lines and all that. So basically, you receive timed synchronized packet information from the MS in here. So it could be collocated with the BSC. But in our case, since we are using AB's IP from the BTS to the BSC, we lose this kind of information. So you cannot get basically timed timed packets, let's say, okay, this arrived at this time, this frame, at this time slot, and all that. So you would lose lots of information regarding that to synchronize. So what we usually do is also we add it there next to the BTS, also for historical reasons, I think, because then it's using the DSP directly at the BTS. So not really going, at least the data, not going through the PCU SOC, but just talking directly to the DSP. So let's go back to from that time, so 2017. What's the situation there? PCU, the Osmo PCU is like the ugly ducking. So nobody's looking at it, nobody's touching it. It's like some weird beast, which everybody's afraid to look at. Heap of debris, I added something less fancy, but Vadim advised to change it, so. I just added also dramatic exaggeration, just to be sure. Like, and I will make a stop here to say that actually there was a lot of good job done in Osmo PCU at that time, which is still there. But the situation was that basically people kept adding stuff on it or trying to fix stuff, but really without having a full clear picture on the whole architecture, because sometimes it was not really good. Also, there was almost no real documentation or knowledge in general about the whole thing together. Most of the code really was not providing information on why it was coded that way. So it was really difficult most of the time to figure out why the code was doing that and if that was really backed in some way or other to some 3GPP spec. So it was like entering into the pyramids the first time and figuring out what was there. Another issue, lots of C++ code, which some people may like, some people may not like, but the truth is that I would say it was also not like super nicely written C++, so it was using C++, but so also like coding in C, and then using some libosmo core stuff, basic stuff, which was not really working well. Because there's issue with, for instance, with linked lists, and ASAN then just showing some warnings, Osmo FSNs, which were not used at the time, or any kind of new libosmo core infrastructure, has some issues when compiling static stuff from Osmo FSMs. The main problem was actually that the code was really entangled altogether. So lots of spaghetti code. Fortunately, Max did some work there, splitting that code into functions, and it was helpful in lots of places. But sometimes also like not having like a really good global scope view of what was the code around made him create wrong separation of functions sometimes, which is fine because it really took a lot of hours to understand the full thing. Another of the big problems was that the object lifecycle was not clear. So we have objects, we will go into that later, but we have like MS objects tracking like information about the subscriber, and then objects tracking TBF, but then how they relate each other in the architecture was not really good. So everything was really messed up, and then stuff just disappeared or was just created and stayed there. Like I recall Keith actually reporting like sometimes we had like 2,000 MS there just laying there, and yeah, nobody knew why were they there. Other examples is that there was no real separation between BTS objects and PCU objects. So a PCU can actually handle several cells, but in the in that code, basically everything was mangled together. So it was not really possible to run multiple BTSs. And then also like, yeah, how the classes were done were not really useful. Some other stuff related to C++. Those TBF objects and its subclasses, downlink TBF and uplink TBF, were in the same file, like super big files, and that made it also really difficult to figure out which logic was like separated or specific to downlink or uplink. So it was really difficult to actually figure out what code was used where. I talked already about the TBF and GPR SMS. Relation being a mess, because at that time, like the main object was the TBF, and then some TBFs had some MS attached structure, but some not. So all the code was full of just trying to figure out if the TBFs had an MS or not. While basically this has changed into basically you first create an MS object nowadays, and then that MS object may have TBFs. And this, which seems like a small change, is actually takes took tons and tons of commits to change all around. Another of the big limitations was the allocation algorithm. So the resource allocation algorithm is the one in charge of basically when a new TBF is requested by an MS, figuring out on the time slots that are used by PDCH, basically saying, okay, I have all these time slots, and I have all these MS with these TBFs already using this time slot, so I will try to figure out, given the information that the MS gave me, also like characteristics from the MS, like how many time slots it supports, I will try to find the best allocation for this MS to use. And the main problem in here was that there was actually no, the allocation algorithm was not separated as in a request where you can basically, okay, I request, I want an allocation, please give me an answer of what I can allocate. It was all mixed together with the object allocation. So you could not, for instance, check, okay, can I upgrade this TBF to something else? That was not possible because you were just creating the TBF. And that didn't allow for like stuff which can be added now. And also there was a total lack of OsmoCo infrastructure, like no FSMs, lots of timers, not using Osmo TDEF, so it really made the code really difficult to follow. Also the existing logging was not standardized, which also made looking at the traces for Osmo PCU a real nightmare. Because yeah, it was really difficult to track like TBFs on a sequence of lots of text. Then also some other functional architecture problems that we had at the time. You could configure Osmo PCU to either use GPRS or use eGPRS mode exclusive. So you could not actually use both at the same time, because actually to use what's called GPRS and eGPRS multiplexing, you still need to follow some restrictions so that actually mobile phones not supporting eGPRS need to receive from time to time packets from CS or MCS 1 to 4, which is like the shared code schemes that both GPRS and eGPRS share. They need to receive some of those packets from time to time so that they are able to actually decode those headers and figure out that they are actually being in the system, let's say. So that's part of stuff that had to be included in the into the scheduler at some point, but was not there yet. So that meant that at the time, for instance, if you wanted eGPRS, you had to actually configure Osmo PCUs to use eGPRS, and that meant that mobile phones not supporting eGPRS were basically kind of excluded because eGPRS was being used for the signaling. So there was a trade-off there. Also, there was no real differentiation between eGPRS signaling, because eGPRS, basically, there's two sides of it. There's like signaling some of the GMM or RLCMAC packets, actually. RLCMAC, actually, sorry, contain eGPRS-specific content, which allows for different TVF allocation stuff, for instance. And then on the other side, you have more like on the user plane side of things. You can use different, more advanced code schemes which allow for upper high rates. But these are actually two different things, because you can actually use eGPRS signaling, like 11-bit write requests, while still using MCS 1-4. So that means that you can use eGPRS even if your BTS or PCO, whatever, doesn't support 8PSK on the lower layers. Because MCS1 to MCS4 support GMS, they use a codec encoding of GMSK. So you can still use eGPRS even if your PCU doesn't support APSK. But that was all entangled together, so it was not possible at the time. One of the other big issues at the time was that we were not really tracking the GSM clock on the PCU, so most of the timers there on when to send stuff were just like poorly done on system clock, on wall clock. So stuff was not really reliable, and it just kind of worked, but we could not track, for instance, when stuff was being scheduled, or some of the counters, for instance, like N31 whatever, which are, for instance, counting how many times you were supposed to receive an RLC block from an MS, but you actually received nothing. This kind of stuff was not really correctly implemented. Yeah, that's what I basically said. Past also problems. No TDC and 3 tests. There were only unit tests, which were super long code, actually even rewriting some stuff from PCU. I even, like a few weeks ago, I still found some code in Osmo PCU after lots of changes, which is code in Osmo PCU, which is actually only being used by the unit tests. So it was totally, code which is not really used and just like polluting everything. I mean, unit tests are nice, but only those were not really useful, because they were just triggering code paths which may not happen, or just assuming wrong behavior. So that meant, in the end, the conclusion was that modifying the code in Osmo PCU, like 99% of the times, just meant like you're breaking something. So, and that's basically this one. So what does not simply make a change in Osmo PCU? Because the consequence is that new bugs are coming for sure. So it's just not like, okay, I'm just changing this code and everything's going into fine. No, something was breaking and nobody noticed. And the other motto was basically, one does not simply fix a bug in Osmo PCU, because usually the code was so entangled, and the relations between classes were not done correctly. So that means that usually having to fix a bug, which is clear, like, okay, I need to fix this, but to get to the point where you can actually apply the fix in a sane way, you had to basically submit like 10 patches refactoring tons of lines, because otherwise it was really not possible to properly fix that without breaking all the stuff. So I will just now listing a bit of changes over time, so what I call the dark age. In 2017, as I said, Max started like trying to split some spaghetti code, but at the time we didn't yet have like TDC 3, regression sometimes. So at that time, I mostly started coding on Osmo PCU. From that point of time, I think most of the commits in Osmo PCU have been mined, and big amount of those are just like refactoring code. Then at some point, we figured out that actually it was not possible to keep improving that without having some tests, because stuff was going to break. So at some point, first Harald added some TDC and 3 tests, but they were more focused on their, if you remember, the protocol stack that I showed you before, so on the right side, so going to the core network, testing DNS stuff, but the Errol CMAX stuff was not really yet tested. So after we started having TDC and 3 tests, we could start refactoring. First of all, of course, we had to improve the TDC and 3 test suite that we had at the time. That was mostly started by Vadim and me. So we started a new test suite. So there's actually 2 test suites for PCU, one focusing, as I said, on the right side thing. So NS and BSSGP, and then we have another test suite using another set of infrastructure, let's say, or TDC and 3 code to test the Errol CMAX layer. Thank you for. That's good. Yeah. So that allowed us to be able to start cleaning up some code without, basically making sure that we were not breaking stuff. And then we could start adding some new features finally, like paging CS and PS from the BSGSN. When we started adding tests in TDC and 3, we figured out also that some stuff was really broken. So it was easy to reproduce and actually fix that. That meant like a lot of stuff was fixed on the CSN1 encoder and decoder. That code was also ported to the Wireshark CSN1, which originally contained this code. This was mostly done by Vadim. Then some more rounds were done fixing the problem where this relation between the GPRS object and TBF object was done the other way. So first, now we create the GPRS object, and then the GPRS object may or may not have TBFs. So this really fixed a lot of crashes already and allowed cleaning more code. While doing that, I usually do some movement of some code which doesn't really need to be C++ into C. Then more refactoring. Then Vadim added the 11-bit rack support for GPRS. You can just look at the date, so I'm not just looking at saying the date there. We've been also improving PCUIF over time, adding some new features which we needed. As I mentioned, this NS2 library, which was added, which is, I think, lives in LibOsmo core, which added IPv6 support, among other stuff. PCUIF is the protocol spoken on the PCU socket between Osmo BTS or Osmo PCU and the Osmo BTS or Osmo BSC towards the PCU, sorry. More untangling, that's been doing rounds and rounds. I do from time to time, so usually the approach is I submit a bunch of commits, like 5 to 10 commits, and then I wait for 1 month to see if everything settles down and nobody complains. Like maybe Keith may come sometimes and say, hey, something's not working, it's broken, so I then look at it and fix it, and then I continue doing some more refactoring. We got some requests to actually implement GPRS and GPRS multiplex, which I mentioned before. So that also finally could be included, which also meant lots of refactoring was needed in between. More C++ to C. I'm just letting you see like how it evolves over dates, so just every few months or some months. I finally split also and fixed the PCU and BTS objects so they could be separate and we can manage now multiple BTSs more or less fine. I'm not saying it's working, but we can make it work now. We added NACC and RIM support, so that allows for handing over from a network assisted self change, thank you, where basically the network passes system information to DMS, so it doesn't need to acquire it from the new cell, so it can jump quickly. That meant also we got our first FSM in there. Surprisingly, there was none there because nobody there putting one there yet. Finally, in 2021, we've also supported multi-slot ULTBF, which we didn't support at the time. Some new stuff we added into PCUIF, where basically we started tracking, the TDMA clock. So we get now indications from the BTS regarding that. So we can track and figure out at which FN we are at each time, and then on the scheduler do like more fine-grained scheduling, let's say. What more? Yeah, that also allowed in time to implement new stuff like RBB polls. So before that, we were only able to poll stuff at N plus 13. That's something which can be done on more times in Earl CMAC. I'm not going to go into details here, but this allowed like better support when lots of mobiles are sharing the same time slot. And to do that, we introduced this PDCH UL controller, which basically you have this object per each PDCH time slot. And it basically, it's kind of a store where you say, okay, I want to register this event. Like for instance, I told this MS to send me a data block on this time slot and FN. And then when the TDMA clock reaches that point in time, the PCU basically goes into this store and looks what does it expect to come. And then it sees if it matches what it's receiving at that time. Like if it's coming from the same MS, or if it's expecting data block, or it's expecting a signaling block, or this kind of stuff. So basically then it can also figure out if there was actually some time out there. So if the packet should have been received, but it wasn't. And this allows using some of the counters specified by Earl CMAC. We added the first initial TBF FSM to track the TBF state, which wasn't there surprisingly, because probably it was written initially when there was no TBFs. And I move slowly stuff into there. I've been over time moving stuff into FSM slowly, just trying to figure out what code is doing what, and then just moving it into FSMs. Then I also created FSMs to track downlink and uplink TBF assignments. Also some improvements for transmit power reductions we did there. And finally, we submitted version 1. And basically, I continue with refactoring, lots more refactoring. Also, some of important things is that even like I had to do several versions of the FSMs, because first I had to split stuff into one FSM per TBF. Then I created two FSMs, one for downlink TBF and one for uplink TBF. And while doing that, I figured out like lots of death code paths, which were really not being used. Also, Ericsson RPS support was added here by Philip. More C++ to C stuff. I'm just keeping all these. Also, I fixed the problem with the allocation algorithm, which allows for more stuff in the future. Also, some issues were fixed because they were spotted when we implemented OsmoConvBG pairs implementation from the talk we spoke about. So we did actually quite good amount of fixing there. More fixes everywhere. So in the present, we have a TDCN3 test suite with 117 test cases, which is quite good seeing where we were before. Logging has actually improved and it's more standardized, so it's more or less easier now to figure, like to follow the life cycle of a TBF in the logs. I try to document a lot better all the with spec references everywhere I can, because otherwise I don't remember myself after having wrote that code. What's it doing? Far less crashes. TDMA clock tracking I already talked about. This also I talk about. Closer to multi-BTS, though we don't really test that yet, as I mentioned. This is also, I mentioned, something we can do is we can dynamically allocate TBFs. That's also what I was speaking before with Keith Talk. But yeah, it's not there. We can go there, but it's not there yet. Not so great. Refactoring not yet complete. It's never complete. limit of a TRX per BTS, that's hard-coded in code, may need to be changed. As I mentioned, lots of work were done on the left side of things, but a lot of problems still on the right side, that's for the future. I will skip the data model, code architecture also. How much time do I have, or I'm just...
10 more minutes, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, I just can skip this. It's just explaining some stuff on how those. I will just leave this. Probably just best to. That's the TDC and 3 test suit diagram. So basically, don't really need to look at all of it, but the idea here is just to show up that we are kind of faking a TDMA clock that was written by Vadim. So we are basically kind of instructing the PCU with a TDMA clock, which is just a system timer in this case, and then we are able to basically to emulate the RLCMAC layer per FN and TS time, every time. So we can really test block per block. Future, keep improving TDC and 3 test suite. There's always more scenarios we can add there. Fixing some of this stuff from C++ to C, which can easily be moved. Multi-BTS support if we want it for BSC collocated, now that we have also RBS support, which is at the BSC. As I said, more than 8 TRX per BTS. Improve BSC CGP and NS code, so the right part of the stack flow, stack diagram that I showed before. Some PCUIF modifications can be done there. There's some discussions, some tickets about some stuff that can be done. And what I mentioned about the allocation algorithm. The scheduler can also always be improved to serve better DMS. And we have no TA loop or power loop yet, so this can be implemented. ANR, I will just keep it as because it's not working. And that's it. Questions?
Good talk. I see lots of PCU changes all the time, so that's good. One question is, I didn't know if it's even possible or if there is a performance difference if you're operating the BTS in IPSNS mode versus NS mode towards the PCU. Does it matter?
I don't think there's going to be. I mean, that's really signaling under the... the bottleneck is going to be on the left side of the diagram I showed, so really... I don't think it's really important there.
Okay. We just have this weird, it's one of those, we've fixed it with a restarter script, that these PCUs go dead. They just appear as dead. And then we say, kill the PCU for 1 second, and it comes back up and it's alive. And I know I had opened a ticket a long time ago saying, how can we avoid that? And the recommendation was you use IPSNS instead of NS, because there's an implicit, periodic, hey, I'm here, I am alive, instead of the other side needing to divine it. You're telling GB proxy that it's alive still.
I think there's known issues with sometimes the NS link becoming in an unstable or weird state where it doesn't work. I mean, it happened to me sometimes when doing other stuff. There's a ticket about it. I think it's known. Yeah. But as I said, like I've been really focusing on the left side. So right side, it's definitely something we need to improve. Like lots of stats also on the BSSGP and NS stuff. It's just like, I mean, I look at the code in Osmo PCU and I know that that's not working fine. I mean, just by looking at the code, I know it's not done properly. But focus on the other side. That's
if
why.
There's any stats you need, I mean, would use from the field or we can implement and then just track. We have, you know, 1,400 PCUs out there talking to GBProxy. So if there was something to be learned from them, we'd gladly do that.
I mean, so we can add more stats now that also like the object lifecycle is quite clear. So because, before objects were being destroyed when they shouldn't. So, it was not really easy to track all the MS stuff. I just forgot what I wanted to say. So the traffic shaping also on the downlink, for instance, with Codel stuff, which I mentioned earlier, which is there. It's especially on the NS side, it's not completely correct. And then, because sometimes I think, I don't recall the details now, but sometimes if some packets are dropped, then you should be sending, or some queues fill too much, then you should send some signaling messages to the MS, I think, or maybe, no, to the GGSN to tell, my queues are full, so don't send me more stuff, just because otherwise you have, buffer bloat problems, where basically you get too much stuff there queued, and it just doesn't make sense. But the problem is that since all that code is really, I mean, it really needs to take care. So that would mean like you see like all this list of refactoring things. I would need to do that also on the other side because just not fixing one thing. It really needs to be improved, I think.
Okay. No, so. Thanks.
Just my curiosity. So probably 2017 or 18, it looks very spaghetti code. So you approach the refactoring approach instead of implement from the scratch. Is there any reason to select for refactoring instead of implement from the scratch?
Well, as I said, that like what I said was it's also a bit of an exaggeration that like there was a lot of good code. I sometimes think like maybe implementing it from scratch could have been actually easier. But for instance, now that I implemented the RLCMAC layer on the MS side, I mean, I wrote that a lot quicker than actually the PCU because it just took me a few weeks. But also it's true that the PCU is more complex than the MS because it has to handle actually all the scheduling between all the MS. So there's a lot of good code there, I would say, like really even advanced features. But that's sometimes the problem. I think like there was some really advanced fixes or improvements on like allocation algorithms, but then some other stuff was kind of I think forgotten because I think the main view of the whole code was lost somewhere in time. Let's say.
I think there's two comments regarding that. One is that. The PCU has changed hands a number of times. So very early we had Sergey and Jolly starting Osmo PCU a long time ago. Then we had Jacob working on it for a number of years, but then he left. I think Holger also had a small involvement, but he also left. So I think there's a lot of different people developing on it on different points in time, which of course makes it more difficult to keep like somebody with the big picture in mind. And then the second problem that you mentioned is I think it's a fairly typical problem for open source projects is that, as I mentioned initially in the welcome, it's always easy to get somebody to pay for adding a new feature, but it's more difficult to get somebody to pay for needed maintenance work. And that's really a very good example of this dilemma that we often see.
Because actually, like lots of this may seem really refactoring, but a lot of bugs and a lot of and it are fixed, and it actually allows then just out of more mostly for free actually adding new features because when everything is clean, just like adding it's just adding few lines, but that means you need to do like 100 commits before just to figure out how everything should be. So.
One more question, just really
not using the free mode anymore. Maybe you can say that to Mike that.
We are not using Freenode anymore. As I said, this should have been a talk before COVID. So,
when was that? Freenode is so 2019.
Well, the thing is, that was just a comment. What do you think about? The usefulness of it, given that you put so much work into it, and what I said. I mean, so in Germany, as you know, there's no 3G anymore, so if you don't have an LTE phone, you might end up on 2G, or if your phone doesn't have the bands, you might end up on 2G a lot. And it kind of works, but it's not that useful in today's world. Everything I just said in my talk, but how do you... Do you want to say anything about that? How do you feel about all the work that you're putting into it? Do you see it? You're just somebody's asking for it, so I'll do it? Or do you think it's worthwhile trying to go down this road of like ironing out little things?
Some of the stuff you saw on the list are actually features that were actually requested by some of our customers, and they were actually like funded. There's some need for it because otherwise, they wouldn't be asking specifically for specific features in there. So, and I think it's also more reliable now than it was before. So, even if there's like this upper layer issue, let's say, at least I'm not saying it's good or perfect, but for sure, I can tell you that it's a lot more reliable than it was. So, that's at least some part of the equation that is better, let's say. So. You can focus then on maybe now upper layer shaping, let's say traffic shaping or whatever.
There might be some machine-to-machine
users. Yeah. Repeat the question. Sylvain said that there may be also some machine-to-machine user.
Okay, good.
Yep.
And thanks again.
Okay.